Okay, cool. Cosmo, I had to speak over the music while we were talking about music. So, all righty. If I'm sorry, we're out of copies of the printouts. So if there's anybody that needs some for like next week and all, I'll try to get a few more. I think most everybody has some. There's a couple that don't. But, so I'm going to move pretty quick today. I got a lot I really need to get through before next week. No, we're not going to do all of that. We're going to get through as much of it as we can. So before we get started, Charles, would you open us in? Man, all right, I'm not really going to have time to go and do a lot of recap, but what we're looking at, for those of you that weren't here last week, is we're going to be talking about music, specifically music in the church and what the Bible has to say about it. And so right now we're in the section we're talking about right now is holiness. Our music should be holy. Our music should present holiness, and that's not in just what the music consists of as far as doctrinally in the music itself, but I believe that also should be presented in how the music is presented out as well. If I got up here to sing a special and I was dressed immodestly, that's not holy. Okay? So it's more than just the song itself, it's also how it's presented as well. So let's go ahead in Romans 12:1. And hopefully I can remember how to do all this without messing it up. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this applies to our whole life. If it applies to our whole life, it definitely applies to the music that we have. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Said we're going to move kind of quick this morning. We got a lot to cover. Leviticus chapter 11 says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. I talked about me getting up and singing a song. I should do it in a holy manner because that's what God is. We're singing about Him. We're singing to Him. Telling others about Him. It should be done in a manner of holiness. As the Bible talks about, and last week we talked about it, Bible refers to it as the beauty of holiness. It mentions that several different times. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is brought or is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Christ Jesus as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This word conversation here is not talking about just what you say, like a conversation. And the Bible talks about your conversation, that is talking about your manner of life. That includes what you do, includes what you say. Because we are to be holy in the manner of conversation. Because because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This, like I said, this applies in our music as well. All right. If I'm going too quick, y'all let me know. All right, so what does the Bible say about where do we sing? All right, Psalms 18:49. Therefore, I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. Can't write with the eraser. And sing praises unto thy name. We should sing it among the heathen. All right. Psalms 57:9. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. We see it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence. We should sing in His presence. Come before His presence with singing. When we sing in church, we're singing it to Him. We sing in His presence. I don't know about y'all, but I've always learned and been taught that, if you were to go before the President of the United States, I know it would be a little bit different now because of who's up there, but let's say you respected. You're going to conduct yourself in a proper way. And in the same manner, we owe that respect and that reverence to our Lord. And in the version that the Bible talks about going back is in a holiness. That's how we should do it. Psalms 149:1 says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and praise in His praise in the congregation of the saints. If you hadn't figured it out yet, we're pretty much supposed to sing it everywhere. So, 20. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. So when we sing congregations this morning, sing with us. And we talked about that a little bit last week, too. Oh, yeah. It shouldn't be a chore. It should be an enjoyment. How about this next one? Psalms 149:5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. You ever had a song hit you when you're laying in bed at night? I do. Sing it to the Lord. Now, we talked about last week how that we're supposed to sing aloud. Now, that was, probably don't do that if you got somebody sleeping next to you. But Upon their beds, it says there. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." They sang in prison. All right. There's nowhere that you can't sing to God, all right? I just wanted to show you some examples of places that the Bible specifically mentions. And like I said, last week and this week, we are basically setting a foundation for the last 2 weeks of this lesson. We want to see what the Word of God says about singing. How long do we sing? Psalm 61:8 says, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever." Now listen to this, "that I may daily perform my vows." I'm going to sing it forever. We should sing it daily. Psalms 89:1, "I will sing in the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." You know what that means? Pass it along. These kids that are coming up, we teach them to sing. Teach them to sing to the Lord. We need to teach them to do it in the right manner. But we pass it on. Songs are used to pass on to the younger generations, and they continue it on. All right? Psalms 104:33, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." You're breathing? Sing to the Lord. Amen? All right. Now, this is just a little short note I put in here. Singing in the future. Guess what? They're singing in heaven. And here we're actually talking about some singing that was done in Revelation. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Also, we see in Revelation 14:3, "And they sung, as it were, a new song. Before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." Oops. Take that 1E. No, brother, I'm still nervous on the second week, too. All right, now let's look into why do we sing. What does the Bible tell us about why we sing? I look at Brother Charlie and I said, "Boy, you looking sharp today." I'm giving him praise about how he looks. All right, I'm not worshiping him. I'm just giving him a little praise about something. But the same thing. But in order to worship, you need praise. Okay? In Nehemiah 12:46, it says, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and the songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God." In Psalms 13:6, I will sing unto the Lord, because He hath dealt bountifully. Sorry if my writing is bad. Up here. Psalms 18:49, therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. Right, Psalms 21:13, be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength, so we will sing and praise Thy power. Psalms 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. I said, these are just some examples that I found in the Bible of these here. Psalm 66:2, sing forth the honor of His name, and make His praise glorious. Next section here, we're going to talk about why should we sing for remembrance. Get that a little bit when we talk about passing from generation to generation, but also as a witness. Okay? In Deuteronomy 31, verse 19, it says, now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify. Against them as a witness. Songs that we sing, we look in our hymn book, it brings back things into our remembrance. And I don't know about you, but there are certain songs that brings back things that happened in my past. That there's things that happen in my life that a song that we sing, it makes me think of that, of what God did for me. Unfortunately, here, this was a witness in a bad way, but witnesses in a good way as well. It said, for it shall not be forgotten. Right. He said, it shall not be forgotten. Remember, it's and a witness, right? It says, out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination, which they go about even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. In Psalms 30, verse 4, it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. One thing I find interesting is a lot of people, when they have trouble remembering something, they can remember it better in music form. And so it does work that way. There's writings that I would struggle to remember and quote what somebody said, but there's a lot of songs in the hymn book that I can give you the words if I sing it without even seeing it. It helps bring it to remembrance. All right, let's see. Psalms 145:7, and they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Paul and Silas sang in prison. Here we're going to see that this also shows us that the song was a witness to those that were around them. Acts 16, verses 25, we're going to read down to verse 33. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now at this point they hadn't really talked to him, or at least we don't see that. But he heard them singing, I imagine. He knew there was something different about these men. It says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. It wasn't just him. Amen. It says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. We see here that music served as a witness. A lot of people heard it. Now, we don't know what happened with all the prisoners that was there as well, but we do know that it reached these people here. And so, just because you feel like it's falling on deaf ears doesn't mean it always is. All right. Now we're going to park a little bit on worship. Okay, let me clear up something else a lot of people have a misconception on. Music is not worship. Okay? It is, however, a vehicle for worship. If music is worship, then we need to quit singing Happy Birthday. All right? Music is not worship, but music is a vehicle in which we can worship through. You read the Bible, we see that there, worship can be done without music, and it can be done with music. Okay? Now, there's a whole lot that can fall into worship, and that's a whole other lesson. We're going to hit some of it, but I did want to touch on it. The definition of worship, the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. Worship does contain praise. In Psalm 66:4, it says, all the earth shall worship thee. And shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing to thy name, Selah. John 4 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Rest of that, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right, so I'm going to park here for a second. I used to have a view of this where talking about worshiping in spirit and in truth. I'd always heard it described as you got this one side over here that has the truth. They're dead as a doornail. No life in them. And on the other side, you've got this full of the Spirit. They have no truth at all. Or if they do, it's very little. And I used to view it that way because that's what as I was studying through this, the Lord kind of started with me. And I don't see it quite the same way anymore. Because the more the side over here that I viewed as full of the Spirit with no truth, the more I realize I believe that one of two things. That Spirit over there is not the Spirit of God. And a lot of it is flesh, not the Spirit. That's wrong. You're sitting there and you're just like a knot on a log, you know, that's not right either. Bible says in spirit and truth, you know, well, what exactly does that mean? And so we're going to look at spirit versus the flesh, and then I'm going to kind of get to what I believe the Lord showed me. In John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I'm going to go ahead and kind of give you a hint of what I'm talking about here. It says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. That's just a little hint at what we're fixing to talk about. In Romans 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of your other versions of the Bible stop right there. But there's more to it. King James says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Go down to verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Like I said, I believe that crowd over to the right that I used to say was all spirit. I really believe that there's more flesh than anything. 1 Corinthians 1 says that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Just ignore that. Thought I was doing better, but all right, so let's look at Galatians chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, right now I'm basically building the case of flesh has no place in our worship, flesh has no place in our singing. And I'm going to hit this a little bit later, but if you like a song that we sing because it appeals to your flesh, and you like it for the wrong reason. Okay? And we're going to get into that a little bit later. But the flesh has no place there. It says in verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and it goes on, and I'm not going to read all that right now for sake of time. But he names all these things, and he says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit. First it talked about walking in the Spirit, now it's talking about living. Let us also walk in the Spirit. All right, a little bit more on the flesh here. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world. The things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Like I said, I'm hinting at some other stuff we're going to get into. Worldly things. All right. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. John 14, and I will give you another. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now we saw earlier it said that if we're going to worship him in the right way, it needs to be Spirit and in truth, right? Now the Comforter, we know who that's talking about, the Holy Spirit, right? It calls him the Comforter, and it says even the Spirit of truth. Alright? It says, whom the world cannot receive, but it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Read a few more things about the Holy Spirit. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, be picking up when I'm laying down, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever you shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. All right, and then the last one dealing with this, 1 John 5:6. Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. I told you that the Lord kind of showed a little different. When we worship, if we're worshiping truth, we're not truly worshiping. Not part of your worship. There are a lot of things that I can't do without God, and I can't do without the Holy Spirit. Worshiping is one of those things. So when it says that we are to worship Him, we see the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that cometh from God, verses, is multiple times He's referred to as the Spirit of truth. If you want to worship Him correctly in spirit and in truth, then that's what you need right there. First of all, if you're lost, you can't do it. If you are saved and you have Him dwelling within you, and you've got Him pushed off to the side because you've got other things on your mind, and you've got other things that in your mind is more important, then you're not going to be able to worship like you should. And while worship, we can worship Him through our music. Our life is not in spirit and truth. We're not going to be able to do that correctly. Okay? So, you could be out here singing the congregationals, but you're not doing it in the spirit and truth. We got to make sure that that is right in our hearts, in our lives. Okay? We're going to move to the next point. Music alters moods. Alright? First one here I got, music stirs. Oh, said again. When I get nervous, I tap and I put this thing on the eraser. Music stirs and charges emotions. A few examples I thought of is patriotism. The national anthem. Again, if you're patriotic, you something up in you. Team fight songs. Oh. They play them at ball games to get the crowd pumped and the team pumped, and it gives them like an energy to go out there and do the best they can. Here, 2 Chronicles 20 says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army." How'd you like that job? Going to battle and you're going to put the instruments and the music out in front of the army. It says, "And to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." Now here we see that it stirred God. Because when did it say that the Lord did that? That's an example. It soothes. You ever been in a bad mood and you put a certain song on, it just kind of calms you down? We can see an example of that in the Bible as well. 1 Samuel chapter 16 says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. It says, Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is unto thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took hold an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. Verse 23, you should listen in. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played it with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. We see there that music has the ability to soothe. Did it again. Just ignore that one. I ain't got time. Next, music can manipulate. I have some examples. TV and movies, stores. If you watch a movie or even a TV show, whether you realize or not, there's music that plays in the background during what you're watching. And if you don't think it doesn't affect it, there's movies you can find online where they've taken the music out and watch a scene, and it makes no sense at all. It just looks weird. It looks ridiculous. You can tell by the music, the mood that they're trying to show you in that scene. My nephew, when he was probably 3 or 4 years old, we watched stuff with him. And if there was something bad about to happen, he could tell before it would happen. He would cuddle up. Oh, no, oh, no. And I'm like, what's up? He heard the music change. And he had learned that something was about to happen by the way the music was playing. That's an example of that. In school, you go shopping. They usually have music playing. I don't know what time of year it is. It could be slow. It depends on whether or not they want you to get out or they want you to shop for a while. Okay, they do that to try to manipulate. Some people use music to help them fall asleep. Okay, there's different things that it can do that. Let's see. Lots of y'all's books, or is there more on it? Okay, it does go on. I can't remember where y'all's ends. Oh, it stops at the type of music. Okay, all right, we'll move along then. All right, so let's talk about parts of music. The first one I want to point out is the satisfying. It is the star of the music. The part that sticks out above the rest, this is the main line of the song, the melody. Okay? In our music, this should be centered on Christ. The star of our music should be Christ. Or God, Holy Spirit, you see what I'm saying. That should be what our music is focused around. To be the star. In Colossians 1:18, and I'm using the body of Christ as an example here, it says, And He, talking about Christ, is weird. be locked. There we go. He is the head. Of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He should be what we're focused all around, what we're centered around. If your music is centered around other things, if your music is centered around you, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. It says, simultaneously performance of action or utterance or speech, I can't speak, coincidence and pitch of sounds or notes. Basically, this is singing the melody together. Okay? That's when everybody is singing the exact same thing all together. That's unison. Right? In Psalms 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation which ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I want to make this known right quick. Unity in the Spirit is what's important. The world out there right now is preaching unity. But what they're preaching is unity is not what we need. And we're going to deal with that later too. They're talking about basically we all want to be in unity and throw doctrine out the window because it divides. Well, we'll get into that later. That's not right. Did you know that God is a divider? And who is usually the one screaming unity? It's the devil and the world. But here we're talking about the unity of the Spirit. Our unity is through Christ. That's what it's talking about. That's what we're talking about. I'm going to hit harmony real quick, and then we're going to end. I think that's the end of your book. So, harmony is the combination of simultaneously sounded music notes to produce chords, chord progressions having a pleasing effect. It says an arrangement of four gospels or of any parallel narratives which present a single continuous narrative text. The harmony is built around the melody, working together in different parts for the same goal, lifting up the melody. Our music, the melody we're focused around is Christ. As parts, we're singing around that to uplift the melody. All right, it's not taking away from the melody. It's actually making it more pleasing and more presentable. Okay? And then we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we'll be done for this morning. I'll do my best to hurry. It says, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body? The example I'm giving here is the body of Christ. Okay? It says, whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Right? And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. All right. Having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. Our parts, our harmony, should have no schism with the melody. So if what we're singing contradicts the melody, which is centered around Christ, then we need to check up. Something's not right. It says, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular. Period. All right. Like I said, we was just talking about the examples of the different parts of music there. Next week, we're going to talk about the different types of biblical music. And then we're going to get into some really fun stuff. There's going to be probably a lot more talking than reading like we have. Basically, so far up to this point, in trying to lay a foundation in the Word of God to show us what we need to base our music around, how it needs to be done. And then we're going to address the actual songs themselves starting next week. So, I hope this hasn't been too boring for you or not, but it's blessed me, and I hope that the Lord shows you some things as He has me through this. So, brother, would you mind dismissing us in prayer? Amen.